Let me get distraction out of the way. Good. Ready to go.
All right. Hello, I am Lisa Stratenovich, the Velocity Detective, and this is the Better Practice Podcast, where we empower entrepreneurs to create a thriving business while they focus on the family. And today I have with me Ron. Ron, tell me a little bit about you.
Well, I am a health coach and also a personal trainer. I work with clients mainly that want to look at losing weight, but also gaining more fitness in their lifestyles. And most of those clients are business owners. And so there's a big issue with business owners right now. When they get a little bit stressed out or feel tired or don't feel like they have enough energy to run their businesses, what do they do? So I try and help them with all that.
Oh, that makes total sense. We spend so much of our energy focused on getting through the marketing and and actually working with our customers and our clients, that oftentimes our physical well-being is compromised. And in order to, I mean, always you have a triangle that is made up of who you are. And one of those pieces is your physical well-being. You've got your, mind, body, and soul type thing. And having a good physical presence is key to running a really effective business. So, one of the things that I find myself even is that, I'll get up at 5 and I'll be going full steam. Then I'll break a little bit for lunch, and I've hit a wall. I am dead tired somewhere around 2 or so. Sometimes I can, pick myself back up again or whatever. Sometimes though, I mean, it happens like 10 o'clock in the morning for no apparent reason. So, why do I get tired like at different times during the day?
Well, there's a few things that happen, and all of us as business owners look at this as being just basically exhaustion. As we know, we put in several hours to make our businesses successful, but do we put in time to take care of ourselves? So one of the main things about exhaustion is the very biggest thing that most business owners face is lack of sleep. We've always got our minds. It's hard to turn off our minds going at a million miles an hour, trying to figure out our next thing that we're going to do in the business or something we have to deal with at work or the business that just takes us away from taking care of ourselves. If you can get 8 hours of sleep every night, that would very much help your exhaustion state up until a certain point during the day, because it helps reset our mind, helps clear things out of our body, so that we can now function going into the new day. But I also recommend if you right at lunchtime or around lunchtime, if you can just take a cat nap for around 20 minutes, if you can do that, and it will actually help re-energize yourself a lot more too. And for to kind of pick up for that second half of the day that we always feel a little bit tired, a little bit run down, a little drug out because we had a busy morning. But another major thing that a lot of people overlook is hydration. The biggest thing that I found with my clients is folks aren't drinking enough water. We drink enough sodas. We need to drink enough coffee. We sometimes drink an energy drink to keep things going and keep us energized. But the major thing for your body, if you got rid of the majority of all of that, the sugary drinks, the caffeine drinks, and just drank pure water, you would feel much better. So rule of thumb in that is to drink half your body weight in ounces every single day of just nothing but pure water.
Half my body weight.
Half your body weight. So let me give you an example. Ounces. Yeah, so let's give an example. So if you weighed 100 pounds,
okay,
half of that would be 50.
Uh-huh.
You want to drink a minimum of 50 ounces of water, pure water, every day.
And just like so that my brain does all of the math, right?
Yep.
50 ounces divided by 8 ounces is a cup, right?
Yep.
That's just 6 1/4 cups. That's not even those 8 cups that everybody said. Of course, you know, I'm no longer the 100 pounds that I was when I was, you know, a teenager, but still, it's not a lot of water. For instance, I have here, you know, a water bottle that I keep next to my desk all the time, and it's 24 ounces, which means that if that were my body weight, I would only have to drink, you know, just basically 2 of these a day.
Yep.
And, well, that's interesting that hydration is such a key portion of that, of why we might feel a little bit tired. Do I, can I get away with drinking all of the water like front? Can I just like guzzle it? Or do I need to like space it out? Like how does it actually work?
Well, it's better for your body to absorb it over time. So if you drink it throughout the day, periodically throughout the day, then your body will actually react to it. But the main, the key glass of water that you want to have is first thing in the morning after you wake up, before you have a cup of coffee, before you have a soda, whatever. Water, your body gets dehydrated at night when you're sleeping, because of course you're not putting fluids into your body while you're sleeping. So when you wake up, that glass of water actually helps hydrate the body, get it re-energized and started, but it also lubricates all the organs in your body so that they function properly.
So, okay, I hadn't thought about that part, right? But, you know, get me energized, so on and so on, that kind of made sense to me, but the organs needing stuff also didn't occur to me at all. So well, that's cool. Well, for sure, drinking more water right when I get up is an easy thing to do. You know, I mean, brushing your teeth, you just spit the water, you know, spit and then guzzle one cup of water, and that's easy enough, right?
Yep, it should be fairly easy. And if you want to, you can add like a fresh lemon into it. So squeeze a lime of lemon into, or I mean, a slice of lemon into your water to help with flavor, because some folks have a hard time just drinking pure water. You can do a lime. You can do any type of fruit, like infused. If you have an infusion bottle, you want to put the water in. Those are all fine too. What I don't recommend is adding in artificial additives, such as like a Mio or some other type of flavoring that you're going to put into your water, because those come with different types of man-made chemicals in them, which doesn't really help your body digest things and actually absorb the water. So you want to just, it's got, if you can at all possible, it's got to be just nothing but water, but you can add some natural fruit flavor in there.
Okay. Seems easy enough though, right?
It's very easy. So, we got to get disciplined in doing it.
Those atomic habits, right? little steps.
Exactly.
Okay, so I get my one glass of water in the morning and I'm feeling better already. How can I keep that amount of energy throughout the whole day, not just right there at the morning?
Well, little tricks that you can do throughout the day to keep yourself energized. Not only the water is going to help you stay hydrated, which is going to increase your energy level partially. It's not going to cure the whole thing, but it'll get you going again. Is to just eat some micro snacks or small snacks in between meals. So usually most people will eat 3 meals a day. So you have a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner usually. In between there, our body still craves or needs some foods for it to digest and absorb to give us energy. What I recommend in those things, when we do snacks, is eat just small stuff like nuts, a palm full of nuts, maybe halfway between the two meals. That'll help pick up your energy. But I recommend them be raw nuts. If they're roasted and salted, you kind of drain some of that, the oils, the natural oils that you need for your body to stay energized out of the nuts themselves. So that's one thing you could do. You can also eat eat a fruit. It's recommended to eat at least one fruit a day, whether that be a banana, an apple, some strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, any of those things. Again, just about a palm size. A banana is, if you broke it down, would be about the size of your palm. And that has some natural sugars in those fruits that'll help energize you. But at the long term, if you ate a candy bar or you had an energy drink, you're going to have a fall down at the end. You're going to have where that sugar runs out, and then your body's going to feel even more tired because of that sugar, where a fruit has natural sugar, which will keep you, it won't give you that that drain at the end of when its source, food source, runs out, right?
Yeah.
And the other piece you could do if you didn't want to do nuts or fruits is just vegetables. The good thing about vegetables is they can, you can eat as many of those as you want. There's no limit to a palm size or anything. If you wanted to do a whole plate of vegetables, you can. I recommend things like celery. Sweet bell peppers are amazing if you used them like in hummus or even just eating them alone. They're really, really good. You can do any types of peppers are really good. Just some type of like carrots, anything that's a vegetable base. You can do salads, any of that. Just don't put salad dressing on it. Put some lemon juice or something on it.
Okay.
If you eat those things, then you're going to actually energize your body, and it's going to be a healthy meal, but you can eat as much of that as you want. And if you feel like you're not getting enough to make you feel full with the nuts or the fruit, you can eat as many vegetables as you want without ever overeating them. And it will actually make you feel really full until you get to your next meal.
Some of my favorite are those little sweet peppers, but they're kind of small, and they're red and yellow and green.
Yep.
Oh, I love those. Love those.
Yeah, those are fabulous, especially if you have a little some hummus or something to dip them into, and just eat them that way. Or you can eat them alone. I just love snacking on them out of a bag.
That's good. Where I'm at. I do love a good hummus, but just straight up, just those little peppers are really, really yummy.
Yeah, really good.
So now I've had my little boost of my glass of water in the morning. Mm-hmm. I've had my little snacks periodically in between my major meals. Mm-hmm. And I'm still not feeling that. I don't know. I'm better, but I'm, you know, there's always stress.
Yep.
You know, even if I'm more energized, there's always something that is wants to try and pull me down. How can I manage that a little bit better?
Well, stress is natural in a business, even at work. We all deal with it because of pressures of what we are up against. Assignments we have to get done. Sometimes meetings that we have to prepare for, or just attending meetings, can be stressful. And a lot of people that are introverts, it could be stressful interacting with other employees or other business owners or just people in general. So stress is an everyday occurrence, no matter what environment you're in. But mainly in the business environment, it can be added to, right? So there's some recommendations to do is make sure you get plenty of rest. We talked about that at the beginning. Get your 8 hours of sleep in, possibly take a quick cat nap in the afternoon just after you eat lunch or somewhere in your lunch break, or miss lunch and do the cat nap so you can re-energize yourself so your body gets going. But the other main source of energy, or eliminating the stress pieces of what we do, is exercise. And when the word exercise gets mentioned, right, everybody goes, oh no, I haven't got time to go to the gym, or I haven't got time to do this stuff. Well, there's some simple things you can really do. It doesn't take long. The main thing is that you do it for a minimum of 20 minutes. 20 minutes, if you do it properly, will get your heart rate up enough to where that 20 minutes actually reduces your stress. Okay. Easy thing to do.
Heart rate. Make sure I understand that. Increased heart rate through exercise, not through anxiety,
yep.
will reduce my anxiousness.
Yep. You said it perfectly. Yeah. So the main thing you could do is just take a 20-minute walk. Now, we all do walking around. We may be walking from office to office to office, or going out and doing things on a like visiting sites or whatever we do in our business. We are moving in movement, but we're also in a work environment. We have to separate from that. So separate yourself from your office, get away from the desk, get away from the vehicle that you're traveling to a site in, and go do a 20-minute walk. Now, the walk needs to be a brisk walk. Brisk walk means faster than a normal pace that you would walk if you were going somewhere.
Okay.
If you do a 20-minute brisk walk, it elevates your heart rate, and it'll help bring down your stress levels. Plus, you get some benefits from that for exercise. If you're trying to lose weight, then you can always, that walk will help eventually over time help you start to decrease, or it'll help you burn up calories, which will help you eventually decrease in weight, as long as you're eating healthy and eating properly and drinking your fluids. Another thing you could do is just do a light workout. Body workouts are fine too. So you don't have to be at a gym. You can do, close the door, separate. You can do jumping jacks. You can do squats. You can do push-ups. There's a lot of things you can do in body weight workouts that will help you relieve your stress level. And separating yourself from that office, it has a good opportunity to make your mind clear, because you're not stressed about what you have to do next, and you can focus on taking care of your body. And if you want to get into a full workout type situation where you're at a gym or something like that, yeah, by all means, join a gym or build a gym at your home, a home-based gym, and work out. But you have to be consistent, and you have to get it into your routine for it to really work for you, to help you reduce your stress levels.
I like the idea that you said we have to separate, right? One of the big things in being an entrepreneur is that you need to separate your business and your personal finances. Yeah. Well, guess what? You have to separate your business and your personal fitness, if you will, because there's not much, well, depends on what it is you do, right? But for me, I am in a chair almost all day long, and there's not a lot of fitness involved with that with regards to my business itself. And separating that fitness so that I focus on myself is really key in order to gain more beyond just like that separation needs to be there. And I like how you mentioned that it clears your brain. Because yeah. Now it may give you the opportunity to mull over a problem also.
It could. Yeah. You can do a lot of things when you separate from the office, right? You can start thinking about other things during the day that bring you energy. It can also give you opportunities to think of things that you would like to do that you haven't been taking the opportunity to do, like gathering with friends or having a meetup at your house, or, you know, what are you going to do that evening and with family or even by yourself, maybe you can go to dinner, or what are you going to cook? It takes you away from the business mindset and lets you think about things personally that you can actually do to have some fun, to relieve stress and actually enjoy life.
Which brings us back around to that focus on your family. And exactly. And guess what? You individually are part of your family. And exactly. Supporting your family means that you need to be in as good of health that you can possibly be, given yourself. So now I feel like, okay, I can drink that one glass of water in the morning. That's an easy thing to do. I can grab some of those sweet peppers that we talked about during the middle of the day. And it really is fairly easy to slip on some shoes and walk around the block, or, you know, go up and down the steps of your building if you're in a high rise, or, you know, close the door of your office and dang it, do some jumping jacks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And of those seems really, really easy to be able to energize yourself and make sure that you are on track to being physically fit in order to focus on your business as well as yourself and your family.
Exactly. So. And the more you take care of yourself, the more you can help your business thrive. That's the main key. And we forget that as business owners, right?
We do. We work ourselves to the bone and then somehow or another get mad at ourselves for not producing better. It's a silly cycle, but and having these really easy steps to help eliminate that craziness seems really easy to implement. Do we have any questions from the audience on any of the topics that we covered around health? I mean, we talked about why we feel exhausted during the day and what to do about that. And we also talked about how to stay energized. Once we get past being exhausted, we still need that energy throughout the day. And then finally, how we can sort of reduce stress. Do we have any questions from the audience?
Hi, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. So I missed the tiring part. Okay. By the way, my name is Milan.
Welcome.
Thank you. So if there's any chance we can go over that'll be great. Why do we get tired in the morning?
Most of the reasons that we get tired through our business day is very simple. I mean, we've heard it all before. One is lack of sleep. Most of us as business owners don't get a full 8 hours of sleep every night, and it's recommended to be 8. Everybody type is a little different. Some can get by with 6 hours, some can get by with 7, some need 9 or 10. But the rule of thumb is try and get a solid 8 hours of sleep every single night, and that will help you. The other piece is hydration. If you are not hydrated, your body will actually start to tire throughout the day because it doesn't have enough fluids in it to keep it energized. And the key point to that, as we discussed a little earlier, is making sure that you have a glass of water as soon as you get up before you have any other fluids. Reasons for that, number one, it hydrates your body after sleeping, because if you slept for 8 hours, you were not taking in any fluids while you were sleeping, and it needs that to energize and wake up. It also helps to provide fluid and re-energize all the organs of the body so that they function properly. And that'll help you stay from getting tired, at least through the first portions of your day, and then stay hydrated throughout your day, which is, rule of thumb is half your body weight in ounces. So again, if you're 100 pounds, you want to drink at least 50 ounces of water every day. You figure out yours and as far as how much you weigh and what yours needs to be as far as in ounces. And then that'll help you throughout the day. And it needs to be just pure water. You can add like a liquid, like from fruits, like a lemon or a lime, or you can add, if you have an infusion bottle, add fruits or vegetables or into that to where it infuses into the water. If you need that to change the flavoring of the water, because some folks I find have a hard time just drinking pure water, but that's what the body needs. Not coffee, not orange juice, not energy drink, but just pure water. That's what it thrives on. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much.
So Ron, why do so many people absolutely have to have that cup of coffee first thing? If water is what we should have, why is that so much more appealing to us?
That's a great question. So all of us have created habits that we need to follow. Of course, some habits that we've created need to be broken so that we don't follow them all the time. And one of the habits most of us have created is that you've got to have that cup of coffee first thing in the morning. We trained our brain to tell us as soon as we get up, we've got to have that cup of coffee in the morning. Personally, I don't drink coffee. I drink tea, but it's a caffeine-based type product. And yes, we like it. So right now, I know you can't see this on a podcast audio, but I'm holding a cup of tea. I like having my cup of tea. It's just something we train ourselves to do, and we love the flavors and we love how it reacts with our body. But aside from those, like a liquid tea or a coffee, that does not include the liquids that you need to put into your body. So when we're talking water intake, yeah, we make coffee with water. Yeah, we make tea with water, but that cannot be included because you've added something to the water that's not natural for the body. So we need to make sure that it's just pure water that we drink in that recommended amount that we put into our body of water of the half your body weight in ounces. So you can have as much coffee or tea or whatever you want, but you have to have the ounces of pure water for your body to really function.
Also, yeah. Right.
And the worst thing you could put in your body, and I know it's very common today, is an energy drink. The high amounts of caffeine and sugar that it produces to the body increases the rate of the heart beyond where it's healthy for the heart to function. And what that'll do is actually create more stress for your body.
Which then turns into stress for your business, which yep. decreases your net profit. We don't want that. That's opposite exactly. of where we're going here.
Exactly.
Well, Ron, it has been uber super good to have you on. I feel like these are easy things to implement in our everyday lives, and we'll definitely get that improvement that we're looking for in our businesses. So how can we get a hold of you?
Well, the best way to get a hold of me right now is my business name is Health Through Fitness. You can look that up. Best way is straight through my email. I interact with potential clients and clients all the time through my email. Right now, I have so many clients coming in through word of mouth that that's the best way to reach me. So my email address is runnerron262. So that's runnerron262@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Easiest way.
Well, it has really been a pleasure to have you on the Better Practice Podcast. I am Lisa Svartanovich, and we will catch you next episode.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Okay, for those of you that want to hang around, Ron has agreed to stick around for the rest of Lunch with Lisa. If you've got any additional questions for him that weren't covered in the podcast portion, you're welcome to pick his brain. If you've got any questions around your business, he mentioned he is also a financial coach, and he does... What do you do, Ron?
I work with small business owners to help them crisis-proof their finances for their business.
Oh, okay. So a little bit in the future focus of running your business. I like that a lot. Yeah. Again, you know, whether it's about your business or about fitness and how the two of those relate, if you've got questions for either the Velocity Detective or Ron, we're here for you. Mina, you're the only one on, so if you've got questions for Ron, remember that he does run marathons, and that might be something that interests you.
Oh, absolutely. I just did my first, so it was a very, very interesting, challenging experience. But my question is, how do you stay hydrated through the whole process? Because I kind of figured out that that's the number one thing that will make you fail.
You're talking about in a marathon?
Yeah. Oh, in long running. So it doesn't have to be a full.
So during the training and all that.
Yeah.
For myself, I carry a water bottle. So I have it's not just a water bottle you'd buy at the store or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, like a,
Arrowhead
water bottle or something like what Lisa's showing. What I use is it's got a strap that goes on your hand. Gotcha. The bottle's in contained in that. But I also use some hydration mixes inside that water. So my favorite one that I use in that is what they call, and I just went blank on the name, if you can believe that. Oh, geez. I just went blank on the name, but it's a powder mix that you can put into into the water that helps you keep hydrated through the runs.
Gotcha. Like it's salt and electrolytes or something like that.
It has a lot of different ingredients in it. Sodium is part of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I want to call it Trailwind, and I'm going to look it up real quick because I want to make sure that that's the right name for it. Let's try this.
If you can't find it, you can always email me.
Yeah, I think it's Tailwind. I can send it over to you. It's here it is. I think this is it. It's called Tailwind. And it's they do an endurance fuel, and it's really, really good. It's all natural ingredients. It's nothing added to it. And it's really helpful in what I do for running. So mainly when you run, you want to make sure that you run in. I live in the country, so I run a lot of country roads. So it's hard to find a water faucet to refill once you get to certain points. So I try to make it to where a bottle is going to last a certain length, and I'll loop back to the house and I'll refill back at the house. But if you're running on trails or in parks or somewhere where you've got a drinking fountain or something you can refill in, even in a marathon, you can, I fill little snack baggies with a couple scoops of that in it. So when I get to, in a marathon, especially if I get to a hydration station, one of the tables where you can get water, and you're down, you just, as you're running, you pour the mix into the water. And then when you stop there, you ask them to fill your bottle, they'll fill it up, and then you just shake it up in there, and then you can keep going on there. But the key in that is not to fully drink that consistently and constantly. You want to grab at the table, you want to grab some pure water and help wash it down and also hydrate your body through that. So those are two good things. The other thing with marathons, if you want to, I don't know if you're going to use gels or any type of other nutrition, make sure that you buy naturals. There's a lot of natural gels out there that you can get. Some of them have chemicals in them that are not really good for you. I mean, for one race, one-off race, in using them, they're fine because your body will burn through them. But if you consistently use them, you're kind of putting chemicals into your body that your body doesn't need, and it can be detrimental to your training and also your endurance for the race. And the major key thing is, whatever you train with, never change the day before you get to your race when you get to the expo, because you'll go to the expo and there'll be all these different places. Hey, try my product. Hey, do this. You're going to feel good. Well, you're going to be feeling like, hey, I've got this. They're saying it's going to be good. I'm going to try it today. Don't do that at the race. If you're going to buy the product, go ahead and buy the product and do it for your next training session so your body can get used to it. But never change the day before the race or the day of the race what you've been using before. And another key, there's lots of keys. Before you run, if you're doing morning runs and you jump up and you grab a banana and you grab oatmeal or whatever you're going to eat to energize before you go on your run, make sure you do that consistently and try different things during your training to see what works better for you. But once you figure out what works for you, don't change that on race day. Eat the same thing in the morning because your body's going to be looking for that fuel before your race.
So now that you mentioned morning and evening, so it would be interesting to know. So I felt the difference because I was training at a night and I ran evenings. And then once the sun hit it, you know, somewhere around 11-ish, it was much, much difficult for me to actually maintain the pace because of the heat.
Yep.
Is that the only difference, or there's a little bit of an oxygen change or something like that?
No, it's not oxygen dependent on where you're running. Now, I run marathons at elevation, so there can be some nuances that you want to be careful if you're running at sea level and now you're running at a mile high, there's things you need to work for.
Yeah, for me it was opposite. I was running higher and then I went down.
Now that should have actually an opposite effect on you, because of running at elevation, it should increase your lung capacity. because at elevation, you're striving to suck air in, that you're going to have more air down at sea level. Now, it can be hard sometimes because now you have too much oxygen to breathe. It can, so you got to regulate where you're going to go. And it's good to get out and do a run or two before your race. So if you get there a day or two before your run, it's good to get out and do a short run, whether it be 2 miles or 3 miles, so your body knows what that oxygen intake is going to be.
Interesting enough, so I'm sorry, some of those things are like my body and my brain naturally kind of did it. You know, I was just like, maybe I should do the week before, just do the, you know, a couple of mile morning runs to see how it feels.
That's a good thing to do. Now, talking about morning training or evening training shouldn't be any different, but the key is to make sure that you do your long runs on the day that your longest run, which is normally on a weekend, a Saturday or Sunday. You do that on the day that your marathon's going to be on. So if your marathon's going to be on a Saturday, you want your long runs to be on a Saturday. If your long run is going to be on a Sunday, or your marathon's on a Sunday, your long runs need to be on a Sunday. That lines up, because your body will get into a rhythm throughout the week of hitting that. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Well, thank you for all those information. That's just beautiful.
Yeah. I'm a licensed running coach also. So.
Oh, it's beautiful. Well, then you're perfect. This is the meaning that I should have had it, you know, be.
Yeah. It's, marathons are fun. And I don't know which training program you're using or if you're just building yours out.
I should have paid attention. My niece actually did it. She did a marathon, and she just recommended this lady that have the some kind of training program. And I didn't even look at her. She just forwarded her schedule. Mm-hmm. So it's a 12-week schedule and goes, you know, some intervals and pacing in the long run the last day, like four times a week.
Yeah, I'm going to put a website in the chat. Try halhigdon.com.
Mm-hmm.
Hal Higdon is a running authority since the 60s and 70s. And he's got dozens of training programs that you can download from all types of races and whatever your ability is. He goes from a novice, which is your first time running a marathon, if you go to the marathon trainings, all the way to an expert runner or an elite runner. And he's got little training programs. Now, are they perfect for everybody? No. Some of those you may have to tweak in the middle, but to get started, they're perfect for starting you out. And it's an 18-week trail. You naturally want to do an 18-week buildup for a marathon.
Yes.
And there's some long runs in there you're going to want to do, a couple 20-milers.
Yeah, I did. It should, that's kind of what this lady had. And I did it twice before the actual first marathon. So I did 20-something weeks.
24.
Yeah, 24 essentially before I actually stepped on it. And I did a few of those. I got to tell you, first one I ran first time it happened with 21 mile, I literally had next day I feel completely off. Like my body says like, okay, this is not cool.
Yeah, you're gonna be sore. But you're gonna be also dehydrated.
Yeah.
No matter how much hydration you take.
I know, yeah.
Yeah,
and it felt kind of a weird. I don't think I ever felt like that before, because it was just like, I don't know what to do. It just like seems like I have a high temperature, but nothing's wrong with me.
Yeah,
like I'm running fever, and there's no fever. I mean, why would I have fever? I'm okay.
Yeah, it's just a natural occurrence from the run. So a couple things you could do post run, whether it be extreme long run, anything from 12 on up as far as mileage.
Mm-hmm.
Or even after your marathon, is you can get into a Epsom salt bath.
Oh, okay.
So do kind of between warm and hot, so kind of a medium hot temperature of the water, and put Epsom salts in there. It'll help energize your body and rehydrate it. Plus, it'll drain out all the, not all of them, but most of the chemical imbalances your body has taken on into the muscles from doing that. So your muscle's going to excrete different types of chemicals once you're running, and it'll help drain those out. Another bath you could take after that, other than Epsom salt, is a magnesium.
Yeah, bath. I do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So magnesium baths, if you use magnesium salts or magnesium tablets or magnesium flakes,
yeah,
those in there, and that creates a natural oil that will help stimulate your body to recover better.
Oh, beautiful.
But and not just supplements, right?
Yeah.
And one more last question, I promise. So what would be the best recovery meal after the long run?
Well, you've burned a lot of carbohydrates and stuff so in your runs. So I found that a natural pasta meal would be best. So I'm into organics. A lot of folks will say organics are too expensive to purchase, but I look at, do you want to pay the doctor bill or do you want to take care of your body in advance?
Absolutely, yes.
Amen. Eventually, they're going to weigh out to be the same. So I eat a lot of organics and natural foods. Best would be a nice natural pasta with either a meat sauce or a marinara sauce. But the other piece to that is have a nice healthy salad with it and add as many vegetables as you can, like tomatoes and stuff. And then the key in this is if you eat avocado, that contains a natural fat that the body needs to recover, is to add an avocado into that.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all this knowledge and information. That's beautiful.
Yeah. If you need anything other help, just let me know.
Thank you so much.
This is I love running. I've run 25 marathons.
Oh.
20 natural distance, 26.2 miles, and one ultra, which was a 50K.
Wow. Okay, nice.
And it was a trail run. Unfortunately, that trail run didn't go as planned, because I'm sitting there going, oh, this would be a piece of cake. It was during a time when myself and my brother-in-law were trying to do 9 marathons in a year.
Wow.
Between our work schedules. And the ultra we did 1 week after running a full marathon.
Oof.
And it turned out to be 106 degrees.
Ooh.
And as we, and it, it's, a, and it was in the hills where we, the trails that we train on consistently for marathons. So we figured, oh, this would be a piece of cake. We know the trails, this would be easy, but we didn't count on the temperature. And we didn't read the website's warning when we signed up. And the warning was, if you have not done a trail extreme or it was a 30 mile run. If you haven't done an ultra at this distance, this is not the starting race for you. And this was our first ultra. So with the heat and a week out, actually 6 days out from a full marathon, trying to rehydrate and everything was very difficult.
what was your time for last marathon?
For my last one I just did my last one in October of last year. My finish time, and it was not very good because I'm coming off a medical issue, but I finished in 4 hours and 28 minutes.
That's beautiful.
But my fastest marathon was 3 hours and 35.
Oh, that's fast.
That's
really fast. So that's like, what, like seven minutes a mile, 7 minutes a mile?
Yeah, the pace was I believe 7:11, if I remember. It was about a year, actually 2 years. It was just before COVID that I did that, before we went into the restrictions.
Well, how do you get that fast? I mean, I can sprint just a little bit under that.
Yeah, well, I was a few years younger. I'm 61 now. So as you get a little slower as you age, but coming out of COVID, I contracted blood clots in my lungs.
Mm, sorry.
And they related it back to having COVID. And it took me quite a while to recover and actually breathe. And even today when I run, I still have a struggle in breathing in my first few miles. So I have to go a slower pace to begin, but I can pick it up after about 3 to 4 miles. And then it's a challenge, but I'm getting back into form. And it just, for whatever reason, having COVID, it changed my metabolism and it changed some of my body a little bit to where the running hasn't been comfortable, but it's I can still do it. So
it feels, I mean, I feel great. Like like every time I do it, it feels better and better. And it seems like I'm getting faster and faster and lighter on my feet.
Yep. So the key, there's a lot of keys in marathon training.
Yeah.
And it depends on when you do them. Not only are you going to follow the training, and I don't know what the training program had you do, if it just had you run distances, but you also want to mix up things in there. You also want to add in some speed work.
That's what it does, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you want to do fartleks. You want to do some 100-yard sprints.
Yep, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, uphill, downhill.
Yeah, and you want to do some cross training. You don't want to get heavy into weights when you're into marathon training, but you do want to do cross training to keep your muscles strong.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like you're following a good program. So it's pretty good.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. That's just the wonderful.
Yeah.
So let's go back to water in the morning.
Yeah.
I've been doing 4 cups of water as soon as I get up, because before I work out, and then when I work out, I'm doing the 3 cups in the water bottle, but with an electrolyte supplement, right? When I do the 4 cups, I can do it just straight. I'm fine with drinking just straight up water, but we've been playing around with, you know, like right now, Minya is doing lemon, ginger, turmeric.
Okay.
And I'm doing apple cider vinegar and cinnamon. Pros and cons. Should we just do straight water and then do that later? What? Does it matter?
Recommendation for me, from what I've learned from my health experience as well as helping others, pure water without all of like the apple cider vinegar and everything is better for you, because it's not intermixing other things into the hydration. Personally, I used to deal with acid reflux quite a bit when I was younger. So working with a health professional, a holistic health coach, which I now became because I got interested in it going through this experience, just like the financial experience, right? We all kind of naturally gravitate to things we've learned. But working with a health coach, I learned that if I added a full lemon into my water, first water in the morning, it balanced my pH in my stomach, and I haven't suffered from acid reflux since.
Well, then it's worth the lemon.
Yeah, the lemon. The lemon really helps. It helps balance your stomach pH.
And I've been doing that for about several years now.
Yeah, and it really helps.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing you can do in the morning with your water if you want to help balance pH before you get into the rest of the fluid.
Uh-huh.
Another key is with fluids in digestion and actually health, you don't want to drink fluids 30 minutes before you eat a meal or during the meal. Now, all of us like having a drink while we're eating because we think we got to flush it down, whether that be an alcoholic beverage, whether that be a soda, water, whatever we're gonna have with it. The problem with that is if you have fluids 30 minutes before your meal and during the meal, you're flushing out all of the acids and enzymes that are in your stomach that are needed to digest the food, to actually separate it properly into your food to give your body the nutrition. So it's recommended not to have fluids 30 minutes before a meal and during the meal, but you can have fluids 30 minutes after a meal, because your enzymes are already now digesting the food and starting to get it broken down into what the body can use as far as chemicals and then what's going to go to waste.
Yeah.
If you can get used to doing that, it'll help you, especially when you're running marathons, it'll help you with your nutrition for your runs.
Cool.
And then you mentioned apple cider vinegar. Mm-hmm. I do apple cider vinegar mix. It's healthy to drink before going to bed, about 30 minutes before bed, because it helps to keep your body hydrated through the night.
Yeah.
And you don't lose as much hydration. But I use a mix of apple cider vinegar, baking soda, and molasses.
Baking soda?
Yep. No, okay. You won't taste it, but it does make you burp.
Yeah.
but the way to do it is you add 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar to a half teaspoon of baking soda.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll see it fizz and bubble and everything.
Yep.
Put in 4 ounces of water.
Only four.
4 ounces of water, and then you want to put 2 tablespoons of molasses.
Okay. Can you do honey or molasses?
Molasses. It needs to be molasses, and it's backstrap molasses is what you want to use.
Yeah.
And if you mix it up until it's all liquid, and then you just suck it down. It takes you a couple of times to get used to the flavors, but if you can do that before bedtime, it helps naturalize or neutralize things in your body while you're sleeping, that you feel you will actually get a better night's sleep.
Well, I'm gonna be trying that one for sure, because I'm already doing it. Just I'm doing it at the front end instead of the back end, yeah. Right? There was one more question. Okay, so you know, there's a lot of if you are attempting to lose weight. Mm-hmm. They say, well, drink a glass of water before you eat. You'll feel fuller, so you won't eat as much.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to drink it an hour before I eat, I'm going to pee it out before I get to the table, right?
Yeah. So, now it comes down to what you eat.
Yeah. Okay. So
the main thing for that is, because you're not drinking the fluids to make you feel full, is the recommendation is to have your plate 3/4 of the way green in color. So look at your plate as a pie.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're going to take a slice of pie out of that at 25%. The rest of it needs to be green in color. So that can be salads. That can be vegetables that are green in color, like green beans, broccoli, celery, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But it needs to be green. It could be avocado for good fats. But 3/4 of your plate needs to be green. The other quarter can be your protein. So that can be, if you're not a vegetarian or a vegan, that can be a meat protein, which I recommend is chicken or turkey. Occasionally a red meat. You don't want to have red meat as a mainstay in your diet, but red meat is still good for the body. It needs things out of that red meat. Or you can add in some pork. Now, there are some religious practices that don't like eating pork. So if pork's not in your diet plan, then you don't have to add that in. But you want that protein to be something that is protein-based. So there are plant products that are protein or will supply a lot of protein, and you can add that into the quarter. I also recommend in that quarter with your protein, adding in a starch of some kind. So red potatoes are good. You can have an Idaho russet potato or occasionally those types of things, but add a starch. So some type of potato or rice or something that's going to have a starch base in it to help increase different chemicals in the body to help you function more and function better.
So the other night I decided that, we got new water bottles and I wanted to try it out. And, uh-huh. So I filled it all the way up with water, and I was working a little bit later. And so I drank the whole 3 cups of water, like 45 minutes before going to bed.
Okay.
I was up the whole night peeing. It sucked. Right? So, you know, this balance between being hydrated overnight and to sleep well, right? Versus having to get up and go to the bathroom every 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Where's the balance there?
So if you balance it through the day, you shouldn't have an issue. But no matter who you are, if you haven't been drinking your minimum amounts, meaning half your body weight in ounces, and that's what you're coming up to, you're going to have that issue no matter what, getting up in the middle of the night and going to the bathroom, because your body's not used to taking it in. It's going to say, what are you doing to me?
Yeah.
And it's going to want to get rid of it. Once your body becomes accustomed to it, which is usually within the first 3 to 4 days, that will start to decrease and you won't have that issue in the middle of the night. So like you, if you've just increased your intake of water or fluids, It'll take a few days, but then your body will start balancing that out. And that 3 cups before you go to bed isn't going to be an issue, because it's going to say, oh, okay, I know what this is going to be used for. And you're not going to have to get up and go do that. You may have to one time, but not 2, 3, 4 times in a night.
6.
Yeah. And that happens. It happens to anybody just starting to increase their fluid levels, because the body's not used to it. It's thinking that it's going to be waste and that it needs to get rid of it right away.
That makes sense. Well, maybe we have Ron for about another 4 or 5 minutes. You got any more questions?
I mean, I have tons, but I mean, so I'm just, this is way, way more than expected. And thank you so, so much. I mean, every single one of them is carry the weight that I will try to implement in my daily schedule.
Yeah. You'll see a lot of improvements if you can stick to just a healthy diet. Again, I recommend organics on everything. Look at read your labels, see what chemicals are in it. If there's a lot of preservatives and stuff in foods, if you can get more natural, yeah, the shelf life's going to be decreased. It's not going to stay on your shelf for 3, 4, 6 months, but it's going to be healthier for your body because you're going to eat it when it's good. And shop at farmers markets. Go to your local farmer's market or your, like here where we're at, we have a farmer's market at a church just down the street from us every week, every Saturday. Go there and get the fresh vegetables that just came out of local farms. Yeah. That's going to be the ones that's going to have the highest nutrient level in them, and they're going to be fresh. And that you're going to need to eat them right away because they're that fresh, mm-hmm. but they're better for your body.
What about, you mentioned proteins. We rarely eat red meat. Mm-hmm. Quick, I don't know, once every 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. We eat a lot of chicken and fish. Mm-hmm. When he started running marathons, he actually looked at his protein intake, and it wasn't anywhere near what the recommended was. So we've been supplementing a lot with protein powder.
Yep.
What's your take on that?
It's acceptable. Just make sure that your protein powder is more natural. Mm-hmm. Some of the more natural protein powders don't have a good flavor.
Yeah.
There's some that I have tried. I won't mention names on this call, but there are some out there that I've tried that have given me a lot of good protein and strength. But the flavor was just absolutely terrible, no matter what you put it in. It could be in a smoothie, it could be in anything. And it changed and altered the flavor of that smoothie so bad that you just didn't want to have it anymore.
You just couldn't chug it down.
And it's gray and it just was terrible, but it was good for you. There's a few out there that are better for you. But they have maybe one contributor in there that's maybe a preservative or something that's in there. Some of that you got to weigh the options. How much is it going to help you on the protein level, and how much is it going to be detrimental to your body?
Yeah.
I like going as much organic as I possibly can, but I do have, and I'll mention them on there because I use them all the time, and it's metabolic nutrition. There's a chemical in there, a preservative in there that I don't care to have in my product, but it is the best flavored protein powder that you can get. Now they have 2 different types. There's muscleine, which is what I use and it's best for running because it helps you with lean muscle. Mm-hmm. The other one is Protozyme. That's for bodybuilding. So I use muscleine, and it's really, really, for me, I like it. I use the chocolate. And I think it's called chocolate milkshake, and it's got a great flavor to it. My wife uses vanilla, and it's both of them. The flavors are just amazing. I weigh the options. Is it perfectly organic? Is it perfectly to where it's not going to help or hurt your body or harm your body in any way? No, but it's very, very, very close. But it also gives you enough energy and enough protein balance for you to have to be able to use and supplement that, especially when you're in training.
Beautiful.
And another thing you're going to want to try is creatine. And you want to get creatine in an HMB with HMB in it and vitamin D3. Mm-hmm. The best one I found out there, and it is extremely hard to find in the market right now. The manufacturer can't keep up with demand. It's from called Transparent Labs. And they have a creatine powder that you can add into your mix, and it'll help build lean muscle for activities and training.
Beautiful.
But HMB is the one you want to look for. It's a chemical, and along with vitamin D3. And if you can't find it, HMB with vitamin D3, you can always add vitamin D3 liquid into your drink to counterbalance that. But those are both critical to establish lean muscle mass.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. That's just amazing.
So when we're thinking about that plate that had 3/4 green, 1/4 protein with a little bit of starch in there, if we have, where I'm going with this is how much of the protein can you use the supplement for versus, can you get 3/4 of your protein from the supplement and then 1/4 of it from beef or, chicken or fish? Or should it be the other way around?
It should be the other way around. So you want to be able to put some type of food mass into your stomach. You want it to actually break it down naturally from, as you were saying, and I didn't mention seafood. I love seafood. Seafood is a great substitute for a lot of the proteins and stuff for you. But chicken, turkey, seafood, something of that, mate, you want to have that as your majority, and then supplement behind that with the protein powders to get up to your levels that you need to have.
Like, is there a rule of thumb on what ratio those should be in?
It should be 75% to 25%. So 75% from some type of protein, like a fish, or seafood, fish, meat type protein. And then 25% as a powder.
So one more question. I know we're a touch over here. So if you've got to jump, but my cholesterol is high. So I eat a lot of legumes, beans, lentils, that kind of thing. Is that going to be, they have a lot of protein in them. Is that going to be on the starch side or the protein side?
That's going to be a combination of both. So if you're eating a lot of legumes, you want to be able to, that's going to be your meal. So you want to cut down on, if you have a meat product of some type, whether that be fish, seafood, or a meat product, cut down on that size and have more legumes and it'll balance.
Okay.
Yeah. Legumes are great. I eat a Mediterranean style type diet. I have a cheat meal once a week, but to where I can go get a pizza or something, but mostly it's Mediterranean style.
I would say that we eat very close to the Mediterranean style. We've cut out, once he started running, he was not feeling all that great with gluten. Mm-hmm. So we kind of cut that out just because he wanted to try it.
Yep.
And that lends more toward the Mediterranean style. Yep.
Exactly. And if you eat like breads or baked goods of any type, don't forget sourdough. Sourdough does not contain gluten, because I have a issue with some types of grains, like some, mostly wheat, and sourdough doesn't contain any of that.
It does.
And sourdough's good.
The starter is made from flour and...
It's a different it's a natural type of flour that you used to do the starter in, and it doesn't contain all the gluten that a gluten bread would be in. It'll actually help you with your training is sourdough. Mm-hmm. So try sourdough.
Oh, well, okay. All right.
I'm okay with that because I like to cook sourdough. That's what your sister makes.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm happy now.
Yeah. Just we need to eat more real protein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More real and supplement with the powder.
Gotcha. Awesome. Cool beans. Thank you so much.
So much again. How can we get in contact with you?
Like I say, through my email is the best. runnerron262@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to help you out.
Awesome. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
This has been fun.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
You too. Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye.